Good morning. It is wonderful to see you all this morning and great to be back with you. There's an old story that I read about a couple that were talking about going to church on Palm Sunday, Easter, Christmas, whatever the event was. And the one said to the other, "You know, I'd go, but I already know the end of the story." This morning I invite you, I'm so glad you're here because we're going to look at Palm Sunday in a little bit of a different way. As many of you know, I've been in Valley Head, Alabama, of all places, at Edwin Gaines Retreat Center for 5 days or so, and came back with rested, refreshed, and with a new vision and new insights and so forth. So I am bringing that to you this morning, so we're going to have a great time, and I'm glad you're here with me this morning. Invite you to get comfortable in your chairs as we prepare for our affirmation and centering prayer. And listen to these words from Creative Mind and Success by Ernest Holmes. Life is from within outward and never from without inward. You are the center of power in your own life. Be sure and not take on false suggestion. The world is full of calamity howlers. Turn from them, everyone, no matter how great you think they may be. You haven't the time to waste over anything that is negative. You are a success and you are giving to the law every day just what you want done. And the law is always working for you. All fear has gone and you know that there is but one power in all the universe. Happy is the person who knows this, the greatest of all truths. So with that in mind, we move into the light, in the recognition that there is only one power, presence, and intelligence, and that is God. That there is one mind that is the mind of God, spirit, the universe, our higher power, and that is our mind now. And we come together in gratitude and the recognition that we are the essence, expression, and experience of the God presence. And because of that, all that the Father has is ours. And whether we call Spirit the Father or Mother God or whatever word we use for it, we know that in this oneness, everything is possible. So in this day, we choose to experience in great joy and possibility. And I invite you to consider anything in your life that is keeping you from experiencing that joy, that love, that passion. There's no better time than this moment to release it. So as we move into the light now, consider any area of your life that you're ready to release and move into the greater. Let's move into the silence now. We remember the words of Deepak Chopra, that every moment is full of pure potentiality. Every moment is full of possibility. So we accept today like never before our oneness with spirit and our opportunity to experience all the light, the life, the love, the peace, power, beauty, and joy that spirit has for us. And in gratitude together we say, and so it is. So this morning I invite you to go on a journey with me. It's the year 30, give or take. And we're in Jerusalem. And it's a warm and sunny day, temperature's about 70, breeze in the palm trees, gorgeous day. And there's a buzz because this guy Jesus is coming to town. The people are out, and their people are cutting down palm fronds, and they're laying them in the streets to prepare for Jesus that's coming to Jerusalem for Passover. And people are very excited because this guy has been out and about, and he's been healing people. And he's been talking to people about the power that they have within them and that they're not really separate from God. And it's a completely different message from everything they'd heard up until then. They thought, here's finally our new ruler. Here's our new king that's going to come in and just wipe out these cranky Romans, and we can move forward, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. So there's a buzz in the town, and we look off in the distance, and here comes Jesus, but he's on a colt. He's on the colt of a donkey. Actually, he's on an ass. That's what they call it, and it's okay for me to say that because it says so in the Bible, I promise. He's coming down the hill into Jerusalem on a donkey. He should be on a horse, not a lowly donkey. But we watch him come in, and we watch him come in, and he gets closer and closer, and he comes into town, and there are children and people waving palm fronds and shouting Hosanna, and it's a wonderful thing, and we're all so excited. But then he talks about his upcoming death. And then he goes into the temple and is completely disrespectful and throws the money changers out of the temple. What's going on here? Jesus was not what the people wanted, but he was exactly what the people needed. Their expectation of him was a savior that would just come in and take care of everything. That's not what happened, as we know. Jesus came in to tell them, to remind them of their oneness with Spirit and the fact that everything he did, they would do and greater. You've heard me say this before, and I'm sure you'll hear me say it again. There's nowhere in the New Testament that Jesus said, "Do not try this at home." Nowhere, absolutely nowhere. He says, greater than these things will you do. And remember the healings. There are five or six different healings in the New Testament where Jesus was involved. And every time he said, your faith has made you whole. Not my faith, not because God felt like it, but your faith has made you whole. So this message was one of incredible power, but also responsibility, because there's nobody else to look for to save them or us from a situation. The good news is, the amazing news is, that the power is within us. Now, before Jesus came down the hill, we don't know what he was thinking, but I bet he was thinking, I so don't want to do this. But he knew that this was his divine purpose because it had been foretold. It had been written, you may remember in Zechariah, in the Old Testament, there's a piece about the Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a colt. And Jesus, being a biblical scholar, would have known that this was what was written about what he was called to do, so he needed to do it. And he did it. He accepted the crowd's praises and accolades, but did not accept the job that he wanted, that they wanted him to do. He did not accept the label and the destiny that they wanted for him, because he knew what he came to do. It was written in Zechariah and in all four of the Gospels in the New Testament, the first four books in the New Testament, it says that this would fulfill the scriptures, or it is written, or something to that effect. But the point is that this had to happen because it was fulfilling the prophecy. My question to us this morning is, what is written about us? What is written about us? As I mentioned, I've been with Edwin Gaines the last 5 days or so, got home on Wednesday. In Valley Head, Alabama, I fly to Atlanta, but you could go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Huntsville, Alabama, and out of Atlanta, you drive and drive and drive, and then you get off the interstate, and you drive and drive and drive, and then you get off that little road, and you drive and drive and drive, and there you are in Valley Head, Alabama, about 100 people or so. But she has this amazing retreat center. This Master Prosperity Teacher Training is 5 days with no television, no telephone, no email, no newspaper, no radio unless you're listening to her or some kind of spiritual music, but no outside world, so that you can be fully present to do what needed to be done. And my experience was, this is the third time that I've attended this training over the last 5 years ago, and in case you're wondering, I did walk on fire this time as well, which was an amazing experience, and I'll talk about that later. But my experience this time was very different, because the first two times were incredibly healing. And I went, and many of you may remember the story that last time I went, I got reconnected with my angels and had an amazing healing experience with angels. And both times were just amazingly healing and very emotional and a lot of tears and a lot of clearing and just a great experience. And what I got this time was a very different experience than what the message that my inner wisdom told me was, your wounded child didn't make the trip. You're healed. It's time to get on with it. It's time to recognize what is written about me. And I challenge all of us this morning to recognize what is written about us. Edwin tells the story. She's if you're not familiar with her, she wrote The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, absolutely wonderful book, was a Unity minister for years and years. And when she first started out, she did not have two dimes to rub together. She and her daughter ate peanut butter sandwiches or peanut butter and crackers, three meals a day for days and days at a time. And then she started to tithe, and then she developed her faith, and then she developed her teachings. But in the early days, she was doing workshops and got a call to go to this church in Fort Lauderdale to do a workshop. And she had no money. So she said, I would love to come, but I don't have money. So the church sent her the airline ticket, took care of the arranged for the rental car, arranged for the hotel, but no food. And she was in a condo rather than a hotel, but just nobody thought about money for food, and she had no money for food. And so it was a Sunday morning, and she was going to go do the service and then a workshop in the afternoon. And she said, okay, God. And I love her, and if you've ever seen her talk in person, you know that she has no trouble talking to spirit. And she said, okay, God, I don't have any money, and I need some breakfast, so I don't know how this is going to work, but you need to do this. So she got in the car, and spirit said, get in the car. And so she got in the car and was driving to the church, and there was an IHOP or some restaurant, and she was told to pull into the parking lot. And so she did, and stopped and just sat in the car and got the message, get out of the car. And she said, but I can't go into the restaurant. I don't have any money. I don't know what you're thinking here, but I don't know what to do with this. And she got the really strong message, get out of the car. And she opened the car door and stepped out on a cloth bag of silver dollars, which was enough money to take care of breakfast and meals for the rest of the trip and some to spare. She knew what her divine purpose was. She knew what was written about her and got out of the car. There's a great lesson right there that just occurred to me. There's a great lesson. Sometimes we stay in the car. I got this great dream and I really want to do this. All we need to do is reach up and start the engine and put the transmission in reverse, but we just can't do that. We have to start the car, go where we need to go, and get out of the car. That's such a great story. The world will tell you all the reasons why your dream couldn't possibly happen. And if you were with me for our Prosperity Plus workshop a few weeks ago, you remember that I left that list of things on the copy machine. That's okay. You remember that Mary Morrissey talks about the difference between a dream and a goal. And a dream is something that makes you feel really good, affects other people in a positive way, that you can't possibly do on your own. She gives the example of cleaning out the garage, and one of her classes said, "My dream is to have a clean garage." And Mary said, "Well, that's really nice, but that dream is not worthy of you." The dream must be something that we can't do on our own, otherwise it's a goal. Edwine had no idea how she was going to buy breakfast on that day, but she knew that Spirit knew. God love you. Thank you so much. So the 5 points: does your dream make you feel alive? Does your dream align you with your core values? Does your dream require you to grow? Do you need help from a higher power, and is there something good in the dream for others? Sometimes we discount our dreams. And listen to the word dream. If you come from our perception of the English language is a wonderful experience, because oftentimes growing up as children, oh, that's just a pipe dream. Don't even think about that. There's no way that can happen. And sometimes we internalize that as we're children and think, well, that's impossible, so I shouldn't even think about it. But remember in Alice in Wonderland, the queen says to Alice, to the effect that, "I've thought of half a dozen impossible things before breakfast." The word impossible is only from the world. And remember, Jesus said, in the world there are trials and tribulations, and I would add lack and struggle and doubt and all those other things, but I have overcome the world, and that I being the Christ consciousness that he had and that we all have. So we have overcome that when we remember what's written about us. So what's been written about us? Well, Jesus, in that same chapter that gives the experience of him going into Jerusalem, he said, when you have the faith of a grain of mustard. Now, we live in Southern California, and I'm sure you've seen the wild mustard, you know, with the yellow, the real pretty yellow bushes that are out in Ramona and out in East County. The grain of mustard is that little tiny speck of a thing. But if you have the faith of a grain of mustard, you will tell a mountain to go throw itself into the sea, and it will do so. That's huge. That's what's been written about us. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's what's written about us. the world, affect, conditions tell us otherwise. Well, you know, in this economy, boy, that sounds really difficult. As many of you know, weekend before last, I was at a writer's workshop with Louise Hay and Hay House because there is a book. And it was a wonderful experience but it sounds like work. Because you gotta write the book, obviously, but you gotta do the proposal, and then you gotta send it out to everybody in the free world, and you get an editor and you get an agent and you do all that, or you self-publish, or and so on and so on. And so I really wanted to talk to Edwine about her experience. You know, how did you publish? Because the Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, her book we have in the bookstore this morning, phenomenal book, and it's doing really well. So I want to know how was your experience, and what I got was completely not what I expected and totally what I needed, because her experience was she did a workshop at a Unity Church in New York City, and one of the people in the audience was a book publisher, and he said, "You've got to write a book." And she said, "Well, but I don't have an agent, I don't have an editor." He said, "Don't worry about it, we'll take care of that." So she got the agent, she got the editor, and then she had multiple publishing companies fighting for the rights to publish the book. That's what's written about us. That life, when we stand in our truth and say, "This is what I'm choosing to do," life says, "Okay, let me help you with that." And the most amazing things happen. It sounds goofy to my ego to get on a plane and go to Valley Head, Alabama to get spiritual food, but it's the most amazing experience because she is the embodiment of this teaching. Many of you know the story. She was on a plane to Brazil to see this prophet and healer named John of God, and she has a wonderful abundance consciousness and flies first class only. And stays at Hilton's and W's and Hyatt's and things like that, and drives a Lincoln Town car, has absolutely no debt, and the retreat center is paid for, and is just absolutely my teacher. She's just phenomenal. And so she's on this plane, Delta out of Atlanta, going to Rio or someplace in Brazil, and it's getting close to departure time and gee, curious about who that is sitting next to her because they're not there yet. And just before they close the door, this woman comes screaming in and sits down, and Edwine helps her get settled and puts her stuff in the overhead and so forth. And so they're talking, "Well, where are you going?" And Edwine said, "I'm going to see John of God in Brazil." And this woman says, "Oh, isn't that interesting? That's where I'm going as well." To make a long story even longer, this woman was the senior editor for Oprah's O magazine. And so it just so happened she was in the process of doing an issue about miracles. And so if you get Oprah's magazine in the December issue, there is a photo of Edwine and talks about her book and so forth, and the book sales have just skyrocketed. When we allow life to do what life does, and we live in our dreams and recognize what's been written about us, the most amazing things happen. And so I just know that this book that is in me is going to unfold in the most amazing ways, and I am so open for someone to say, "I love the concept of that, let me help you with that." Or, "My brother-in-law is a publisher, I've got that." Or just the innumerable amazing ways that Spirit has to bring our good for us. Louise Hay was in the room at the writer's workshop. She's 85 years old and is in the process of writing a new book with Cheryl Richardson. Edwine is 72 years old and travels about 250 days a year. So if your dream, if when you are deciding what it is you want to do, if your ego says, "Yes, but," if there's any kind of yes, but, recognize that that's not the truth. Because if we can walk and talk and find the door, we can experience the manifestation of that dream. We absolutely can. I know that to be true. The world will tell you otherwise. There's a story, and this was probably mid-1950s, and it sounds like the Midwest someplace. Sounds like the Chicago area. It might not have been, but it just sounds like it to me. But anyway, mid-1950s, and there's this community of, small community of houses on a cul-de-sac. And as it happened, everybody in the neighborhood was Catholic. And it worked out very well because, of course, and certainly back in the day, in the Catholic religion, you had fish on Fridays. And they had fish every Friday, and it worked out just fine, and everything was wonderful. And then one of the families got a job transfer and had to move. And the new family that came in were Lutherans. And they didn't think too much about it, and they were really nice people, and so on and so on. And then a Friday came along, and the men are driving home from work because, of course, in the 50s, most of the mothers were home with the kiddos, and the men were driving home, and it's a nice summer day, and their windows are down. What's that smell? They're barbecuing steak in the Catholic neighborhood on a Friday. So the men got together and said, this is just really painful because I'd so love a steak, but we can't have this, so we got to do something about this. And so they talked and talked and they talked and talked, and they decided that, you know, Lutherans not that much different from Catholic. Let's just convert them. So they went to the family and said, we love you so much and you're such nice people. We'd love to have you join our spiritual family. And they said, well, I don't really want to go to Mass. And they said, you don't have to do that. We'll bring some water. We'll bless some water and bring it over and just do like a baptism kind of thing. And that'll convert you to Catholicism. And so the Lutheran family says, okay, we'll go with that. So they came over and did the thing. And you were born a Lutheran, but we bless you and we honor you. And with this water, you become a Catholic. Okay. So the next Friday, life is good. The next Friday, the men are driving home from work, and it's a wonderful day, and the windows are down. And they smell steak again. So they go to the neighbors, and they say, but you're Catholic. It's Friday. So the former Lutherans go into the house and come out with some water and take it over to the barbecue and sprinkle it on the steaks and say, you were born a cow, but now you are a fish. The truth is that we were born with this experience, with this presence of the allness of spirit within us. And sometimes we allow the world, we allow dear ones who love us to tell us all the reasons why our dream couldn't possibly happen, or we allow medical science to tell us all the reasons why that couldn't happen. It's an offering that we can either accept or decline. When we decline, we say, no, thank you. I know that I'm the beloved of God and my dream is possible because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be my dream. Everything is possible for us because of what's written about us. Now, remember in the story, Jesus didn't go and get the colt himself. He sent a couple of disciples to go and do that because that was the way it was written and also because he needed some help. We are wonderful, loving, giving people. How often do we give ourselves the opportunity to receive? There's a pink sheet of paper in your bulletin this morning, and Cliff Edwards and I were talking about back many moons ago, we used to have wonderful community circles that were small groups of four or five or six people that would get together at somebody's house in a particular, so there'd be like a Tierra Santa group and a La Mesa group and a Coast group and just however it works. Get together one night a week just for an hour and a half or so to just maybe go over the outline of the talk from the previous Sunday and see how it impacted your life. Talk about the things that are in your life that you'd like support for. Just wonderful, loving, supporting community groups. And Cliff and I were talking about that and the concept of that. And if you've been with us long enough to remember those, or if the concept of that resonates for you, I invite you to indicate that on the pink form. Or if there's something else that we as ministers and practitioners can do, or that the church can do to support you, I invite you to note that and drop that in the offering basket this morning. What I have found in my life is the best way to find out what somebody wants is to ask. What a concept. So I invite you to give that some thought. And if that resonates for you, you know, no commitment necessary. Just give us an idea of what sounds really good for you. Absolutely.
We also decided that the groups don't have to be live. But that would be a hindrance to you to say, I'm going to drive somewhere one night a week. They don't have to be live. You can also set them up over the phone so that you can meet together from wherever you are and have that same level of support.
Good point. Thank you very much. And they also don't have to be at night. If you have, you might want to do one during the day at your home. And that could work as well. So we're open to all possibilities, but if the concept of that would serve you, please do note that and we'll do some development and be back in touch with more details. And Cliff, thanks so much for doing that. So the opportunity is for us to surrender to that greater good, surrender to that experience of the manifestation of the dream. And how do we do that? We do that by knowing that we don't know. We don't know how it's going to happen for us. We don't know the steps. And it's just so, to me, it's just so luxurious to every time my ego says, how in the world are you going to get the money to do dot, dot, dot? Or how are you going to get the people that are going to be able to do that for you? It feels so good to say, I don't need to know. Edwine did not expect that bag of silver dollars under her foot. She did not expect that publisher to be in the audience about her book. So many times in our lives when we allow ourselves to remember, we've had experiences where, how in the world did that happen? We could not have foretold the amazing good that came to us, but yet it's been foretold that we are the beloved of God and all the good is there for us. So all we need to do is surrender and not get involved in, well, you know, you're X number of years old, or the economy's thus and so, or this happened in the past, or whatever, because every day is new and fresh. So I challenge us to allow ourselves to ride in to Jerusalem on the colt. Not listen to what the world would tell us about what we should do, or what we need to do, or what we can't do, but instead listen to what we're being told that we came here to do, and allow that divine purpose to play out in our lives, and allow Spirit to do what Spirit does, to remember what's been written about us. It's the greatest thing. So let us know together that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is.